Isn't that Abba's song a beautiful song?
Yes.
I just love it. It's just, and you know, when you hear it and you sing it and you just wonder why people can't love the way God loves us. Can't figure out why you have all the mess in the body of Christ that you have. Because he's nothing but love. Pure, unadulterated love. And that's what we're supposed to be too, right? But I don't see that happening. I believe one day we will. I believe one day husbands will be husbands, wives will be wives, and families will be families. I really do. And not squawking at one another, but just loving one another. And sharing the love of Jesus. You know, if we can't love each other, then we don't love God either. That's the word tells me. I read this morning, or this evening right before I came down, that the month of May, we have entered to an expectant month where God will appoint and unappoint. Where God will appoint and unappoint. The scripture that they're using for that is Daniel 2, 20 through 22. There's a whole lot of changes coming in the month of May. I don't know about you, but in my life, you know, around about me, they've already started occurring. Some things we're going to like and some things we're not going to like. But we still have to hold on to the Father's arms and walk down that road with him, no matter what it holds. We still have to do that. I just wish the body of Christ, you know, when they're having their own personal drama, instead of them saying, look, I'm really fighting right now and I have a problem, they put their attention on another person and pull out all their flaws to take everybody's attention off of their own flaws. God doesn't want that. If we have a flaw, God wants us to address our flaw and let other people's address their own. And this is causing a lot of problems in the body of Christ because we won't address our own problems. We always throw somebody else's up in front of it. You know, when I was first born again, I was going to this little small church. And they had a prophet in from overseas, an African prophet. And he, at the end of the program, he said, the pastor said, if anybody wanted a personal prophetic word, they could call her home because we had it in our home. And they would set up an appointment. Well, of course, I did that. And so when I went there, you know, they ushered me into the room where she was letting him use. And he was sitting at a desk frantically writing. And his wife said to her twice, you have somebody here. He said, don't bother me. He frantically writing as fast as he could write. And then he turned around and he just said, it's you. You are the woman that God just spoke to me about. Then he just read what God said about me. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard in my life, and I never got a copy of that. And of all the days, I wished they would give me a copy because he wrote it all down. So at midnight that night, the pastor called me and said, Barbara, can you please come over? And I said, sure. So I got dressed and I went over. And she says, the prophet said that I am to anoint you like David was anointed. And she said, sit in the chair. You know part of the story. She put a towel around me and poured a whole bottle of olive oil down my head. It wasn't little damn will do you. It was a whole big bottle. And that was just like liquid honey falling down off my head and went all over my body. And she said, God has set you apart for his kingdom. I left her totally amazed, totally changed, never to be the same. I was totally wrecked, is what I was. Do you ever think how awesome that is, that God loves you so much that he brings somebody from overseas to set you apart, didn't use the people that were around about you to do it? God loves each one of you that much also, and I can say my walk with God has been the most fantastic thing I've ever done in my life. I never was a worldly person, always went to church, but then I became born again and knew that's a total new ball game. And God has loved me through so many trials and tribulations. He's allowed me to go through a lot of trials and tribulations to prove to Satan that I was God's child and I was not going to back down. Now, how many of you are going through trials and tribulations and you back down? You don't carry the assignment clear through because you find out in the middle of it or right in the very beginning that it's too hard for you, or you just don't want to endure all the hardship and the pain. Look what Jesus did. We're supposed to do the same things that Jesus did. We're not supposed to, once we're in the assignment and we realize it's going to be pain and whatever agony, whatever else, just quit. We're supposed to stay in there. Jesus didn't even have the disciples to pray with because they didn't understand things. But we in the body of Christ today, we have each other. And we should trust each other to the point where we can pray for one another and not tear each other down, but to build each other up and bring us forth. We are a hospital, and we're supposed to be healing and not kicking a person when they're down. And we know that in this day and time that there's so many in the body of Christ being destroyed by the body of Christ. It's just happening all over the place. We do not want to be one of those vessels that Satan can use to destroy another person. Do you know how many times I've had to just grin and bear it? You know, just say, well, that's part of the assignment that I'm on. If I get hurt, Jesus was hurt too, because God told me this. He says, you need to find out what my son Jesus went through, then you need to quit complaining. You are there to save a soul. You're not there to be exalted. Always remember that. And if you can't do that, then you're not a leader. If you can't take the kicks and the bumps and the bruises, then you're not a leader. And God's going to pass you by. What did I say they said in the month of May? That we are in an expectant month where God will appoint and unappoint. So if God's appointed you to something and you're not fulfilling that assignment, God will quickly unappoint you. God, you don't understand the fullness of what God is doing. You really truly do not, or you wouldn't be doing some of the dumb things that you are doing. Astrid, you had a testimony about this morning. Please talk slowly. When you talk fastly, I can't understand you. She said, I promise.
This morning, when I was on the floor, the Lord whisked me, and I went somewhere, and I could see the destruction of one place, and the Lord told me that we must, what I can remember what I wrote to you, that we must repent, that his near is coming, and that one of the cities that will be destroyed, and I don't want other people to worry, one of them is New York. I could see a destruction of New York, the city of New York destroyed. And I could see that if we pray, that we must pray like never before, and we must repent, because God will save those that will repent. And that we must come, how you say, that we must get together with him, dying with him. I could see his love. I could see the scrolls. And I could feel his love. I could feel his presence. But the most important thing is stand with him and repent. But there's going to be a lot of destruction upon this land. And I have seen other things that are going to come when an earthquake that is going to be the Wyoming, you know, by the Wyoming is going to be, the United States is going to be cut in half. And third world wall is going to break up. This is what I have that the Lord has been speaking to me about. And he said, you need to warn my people. And he told me the moment was right now when I was on the floor. And he told me about we need to start doing street ministry. And I already called Barbara that we got to start that. And I already told Pastor Barbara what he told me.
What she said about New York has been prophesied before. God told me to watch for the great earthquake because it was going to split America in half. He told me that over 20 years ago. And everything that she has said that God showed her on the floor this morning is exactly what God is going to do. Now, if you're in the Spirit, when she starts speaking, the Spirit of God hit you and stayed with you until she stopped. Now, if you're not in the Spirit, that didn't happen to you. So you need to start getting in the Spirit so that God can witness to you whether something is true or whether it's false. We all know that we need to repent. God's been telling us now for years we need to repent. But how many people are truly repenting? Oh, God, I'm so sorry when you get caught. But the next second you forget you got caught, repented, and you get right back to your mess again. We can't be doing that anymore. Now, did anybody else have a short catching away experience this morning? No? Didn't hear anything? Expect it, because it's going to happen. God does not do anything for nothing. Everything he does for a reason. God has told me, and I've told you, that Astrid is greatly anointed of God, and she's going to be seeing signs, wonders, you know, in the heavens. And God told me today that he has set Barbara Alsap apart, that she's going to do the exploits that I've been doing. And the reason why that is because she's run the course. You know, she's took whatever came her way and overcame it, and now she's finally won the place in God's kingdom, and grace has also. And this is what we each need to be aiming for, having that special seat with God in the third heaven where he can give us revelation knowledge all the time. All right? This morning he talked to us about he wants to catch us away. He's opened up a portal over this church years ago. At least two that I know of. You know, he had us put this sign up, I don't know how many years ago, rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. When he had me put that up there, that's when the glory came into the church for the second time. And it's been here all along, but who has believed God's word? Okay. Now, you can be in your own home, you can be in your own church, you know, if you don't belong here, and God can be speaking to you and not speak to another person in the church and give you revelation knowledge of what's going on. Now, that isn't for you to take over the church. That's for you to keep into your spirit and then just let God use it whenever he desires to use it. Okay? Now, tonight's message is very important to this body. God is speaking volumes right now. Are you hearing volumes or are you hearing nothing? He is leading, guiding, and directing his children with his voice. He's given us dreams and he's given us visions. Brother Allen has gone to that place that Astrid and Grace and Barbara have gone also. And God is using him mightily. And there was a time when Brother Allen was coming here where God told me he was finished. But he said when he heard that, he was bound and determined that devil was not going to have him. So he kept pressing in and pressing in and pressing in. And he pressed right into the highest place there is, the third heaven. He could have quit at any given time, but he kept pressing in. There's many more in the body of Christ that you've missed the mark. And it isn't, and you don't need to quit. What you need is to keep pressing in. Look at Samson. Even when he, you know, he lost his anointing because he told Delilah what the secret of his strength was. They put him in prison, not watching that his hair was growing back. Samson did not sit in there and whine like a puppy dog. When his hair grew back and he had his strength, he said, God, let me one more time defeat my enemies. And he died with his enemies. See, we don't do that. We go around moaning and groaning. We run the church down. We run your friends down. Instead of saying, hey, I have a deep-rooted problem that I need to deal with, we put the blame on everybody else. And we need to start taking the blame where it belongs, on our own selves. All right? I want you to listen closely to what we're saying here tonight, because this is important. She lost her toy. It's very important that you get this in your spirit. You already have now an open portal over you. You already know that God says anytime you desire, you can go up in that up into the third heaven. So it's totally up to you. Whether, and don't say, well, he just isn't listening to me. That's a lie. See, you're not right yet, and so you have to figure out something to blame on somebody else instead of you yourself getting yourself right. And I know this might sound harsh, but truth is truth. And I don't know about you, but I get to the point where I get sick and tired of holding somebody's hand. What if Jesus would have done that and never went to the cross? You know, where would you be today? All right. If we were diagnosed with a terminal disease and we were tempted to fear, some would say you need to build your faith up. Yes, this is true. But how do we do that when facing a difficult time? Faith or confidence is built upon the revelation of who God is. If you don't know who God is, you're going to lose everything you have. The more we know God, the easier it is to trust him. We cannot wait until we get a bad report to build up our love relationship with God. We must build up our faith every day. Every day, Satan has an opportunity to come into your life and destroy your faith. Why do I say this? Because you allow him to. Because you do not have the right relationship with God, and therefore that you have an open door for the enemy to come in and bombard you. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But without love, it is impossible to demonstrate faith. Did you get that? Without love, it is impossible to demonstrate faith. I once heard a minister say, fear that is tolerated contaminates your faith. Fear that is tolerated contaminates your faith. If you're walking in fear, you do not love God. I don't care what you say. The Word of God tells you that. If you love God, you will not walk in fear. You will walk in total faith, knowing that God has your whole life in his hands. And you can't believe that one second and the next second not believe it. I mean, that is about stupid. That's not even faith. God is love, and in love there is no fear, not an ounce. Fear is a spiritual force. Love is a spiritual force. For fear to enter into the heart of a believer, it must come from the outside and not inside out. You know, I taught one time, and I said, if you say, I love you, but, that negates your love. Yeah, and you know, and right now I'm dealing, you know, I'm trying to raise two children, and the other day I was trying to figure out how I was going to put this into words, and I said, I love you, but, and God said, what? He said, you can't tell that child you love him, but. He said, just sit there and rephrase it. I never did go to this. I just dropped it. But see, God said, but. So, you know, I'm sorry. If you're nitpicking people apart, you do not love them. Yes, don't. You're the wrong idea of what love's all about. And really, Drew, that's really what this message is all going to be about. But God changed it, all right? Fear is a spiritual connector to disaster and death. Oh, I'm so afraid he's going to leave me. He's going to leave you. Because you have a fear of that, right? Oh, I'm so afraid I'm not going to pass my driving test. You're not going to pass your driving test. You see what this is? Come on. I'm so afraid I'm going to mess up. You're going to mess up. You can't walk like that. You have to tell God, God, I really don't want to mess up, and I need you with me as I go do this thing. Amen. I just went and got my driver's license renewed, and I didn't want to go because of my eyesight, you know, because the doctor said if I go again, he's going to tell me I can't drive. And so I went in there, and I said, well, it was the last day. I had to take my driver's test. So I went in there, and she said, put your eyes up to this little thing, you know. And I said, well, here we go. I said, thank you, God, that I could see that thing perfect. Do you know, it looked like somebody put a neon light behind them letters, and I just read them right off. It really. I started reading. Like, no, no, no. She said, you read what you had to read. Just go on. See, if I'd have went in there with total fear that I wasn't going to pass it, guess what? I wouldn't have been able to read that. So let's talk about entering the kingdom, okay? When we are walking in love, we demonstrate the kingdom. It is our heavenly right as a citizen of the kingdom to manifest love. In Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In John 15:9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. This is Jesus speaking. I also have loved you. Abide in my what? Love. Not in indecision. Not in fear, but in his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We are to permeate inhabitants of the realm of love. I'm sorry. We are to be permanent inhabitants of the realm of love. That is not happening in the body of Christ. I did something because I just did. It was a good thing. I got so much backlash over that stuff. And finally, my daughter said, I'm not going to fuss with you no more because I know how much you love people and I know how much compassion you have for them. And that's why you did this. That is why I do things, because the love of Christ dwells within me. And it doesn't matter how much people, what people do to me. That does not negate my love of Christ. And you shouldn't be doing things for people because of what they used to do to you. You should be doing them always because the love of Christ abides within you. Yeah, you know, God is love. I don't care what you say. God is love. And God does, I'm just hearing him say it, and the love of God does not hinder another child of God. Okay, because love governs God's kingdom. As we become ambassadors of love, we make an impact in the world. This is why people don't want to come into the house of God. They see men and women breaking up, you know, and they see adultery in the house of God. They see lust in the house of God. They see hate and backbiting in the house of God. They already have all that out there. Why would they want to come in here and say, well, now you got to go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday go to prayer meeting? You know, somebody's telling them what to do. Why would they do that if, when they're on the outside, they can do whatever they want to do and still have what you have in a church? When I first became born again and my eyes were open to what goes on in the church, I was totally shocked. I was even in a church that all these things were going on. Weren't you shocked at what you saw in the house of God? Once you start walking in the Spirit? All right, God instructed me not to teach love like it is another topic. And why? Because love is the foundation for everything he is and does. If you don't have true love, you do not have a secure foundation. Like God told me one time, he said, daughter, the church doesn't know how to love. They know how to lust, but they don't know how to love. They know how to be perverted, but they don't know how to love. And as I went along in my walk with God, so true. So true. And they think it's all right. That's a sad part. It's not all right to lust. It's all not all right not to love. It just isn't. You know, and I do have a degree in counseling. I do not counsel people. Why? Because they really don't want to change. You know, and I told my teacher, I said, I can't do this. She said, you're going to have to, Barbara, if you're going to graduate. You know, so I had to counsel these people, but they did not want to change. If you counsel a married couple, the husband comes in, complains about the wife comes in and complains about the husband, then you got the kids doing their thing, and, you know, nobody ever does anything to change. I said, why are you even together? You don't want to come have me counsel you. I'll tell you, get a divorce. I mean, because really you don't want to change. If you don't have love in the marriage, you have absolutely, I don't know why I'm going down this road, but I'll keep going. You know, you have absolutely nothing if you don't have love in a marriage. You just don't. And once I heard a man said to me, he said, well, he was into perversion. He said, well, what I need is a wife. I said, what's a wife going to do to you? Well, then I won't want to do pornography and stuff. Well, he got married and got a wife, and he found out that did not cure his perversion. He needed God to intervene in his life, not another woman or another man, but God. And that's sort of sick to have that, you know, mindset. I think I better get back to my notes. Okay. Okay. All right. Without love, no redemption, no healing, and no you. I used to watch people in this church beat up Sister Astrid. And there was those of us in the church who really prayed really hard that God would intervene and keep her until they quit doing their dumb stuff. And he did, and they quit doing their dumb stuff. Now, see, you don't like this because I'm being honest, right? But I, you know, and I said, and I even said to my husband, why do they do that and call themselves children of God? We're supposed to build up and not tear down. But we do too much tearing down and not enough building up. I don't understand her personality. She doesn't understand my personality. And that's why people fight among themselves, because you don't understand another person's personality. And so instead of you accept them the way God wants you to accept them, you go about tearing them down. And you know how bad that hurts. Some of you have been in that box. It hurts really bad. But we're supposed to have the love of Christ in us. We're the Philadelphia Church. Philadelphia Church is a church of what? Love. So I expect everybody in this church to be love vessels. All right? Everything stems from love. If we do not see things through love, we cannot perceive things as God sees them. If we do not present all that we do through love, we are not doing it by the Spirit of God. And Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But without love, it is impossible to demonstrate faith. And like I said before, I once heard a pastor minister say, fear that is tolerated contaminates your faith. You cannot tolerate fear from this second on. What you don't know, God doesn't hold you accountable before. But right now you know that you're not supposed to fear and that you're supposed to walk in love. So now you're going to be accountable for this. Husbands, the Word of God says, love your wives. It didn't say nitpick them apart, does it? All right, well, let's go on here. All right, now this is where God took over. I was going over this, and right here God said, you are Beulah land. Listen to this. You are Beulah land. So I went to Isaiah. I never heard that before. I looked up Isaiah 62, 1 through 12, a church. Listen, because this affects you. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. This is talking about us, because we are now Beulah Land. God has changed our name. God is for us and not against us. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. See that? You're now a crown of glory, a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You are now precious in his sight. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzah, and your land Beulah. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. Are you getting this, what God's saying to you? For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Do you see how special you have become right now? And if you're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's all over you. I have set a watchman on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. And give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. This church will become a praise in Delaware. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain as food for your enemies, and the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. The enemy can no longer steal from God, from this church. God has said so. He has decreed it. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Prepare the way for the people. What are we called? We're a forerunner church. We are preparing the way for the people to enter in to the things of God and get and have salvation. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. You see, people are going to come and sit at our feet. Everybody in here, and you're hearing this, this is for you. You are now Beulah Land. You're no longer forsaken. This implies that the Jews have turned back to the worship of God. And this church has surely turned back to the worship of God. In Isaiah 62:4, Israel is called Beulah, which means married, because God will once again delight in her as his bride, whereas before, during the exile, she had been rejected. Now remember that. We're going to cover a scripture for that in a minute. Now Hephzah means my delight is in her. The name Hephzah means not only someone who evokes delight, but also one who is guarded, a protected one. God is protecting us, and the enemy cannot have us. Isaiah 62 is a prophecy about Israel and a future time when Israel will be restored to a position of honor in God's sight and for the nations to see. Since God said we were Beulah Land, he has already restored us to a position of honor for the nations to see. Those who have been coming against us for all these years are now going to see the hand of the Lord at work in this church. Now, when God changes a name in the Bible, it conveys transformation, a second chance, and a new beginning. God has spoken all that over the Lighthouse Church. And he's probably spoken it over your life individually. Take this word that God is saying tonight into your bosom personally and know that God has now done a new thing in your life. This passage promises a restoration of Israel to a place of favor and protection in God's sight. Through this passage, the whole world knows that God finds delight in Israel and is married to her. People are going to see, that's in Revelation 2, the Philadelphia church. People are going to see that we've been God's people all along, and they're going to come and worship with us. He will no longer forsake his people. The Lord has sworn to never again allow a conqueror to overcome Israel, and Israel will exist in a sanctuary of safety. I read one time where somebody said, don't call yourself Israel. Why not? God does it. If you don't believe that, then you just don't come and say anything to me. You take it to God and hear it for yourself. Israel would prepare the way for all those to come to receive the Lord's salvation. Isn't that what God's been calling us to do? Come on. Hasn't God been trying to get you to get your act together so that you could enter into this marvel? This time has already started. And this morning and this evening's messages are really important that you and that they impact your spirit, man. Ultimately, through Israel, Jesus came bringing his reward and recompense, fulfilling the Old Testament prophetic passages for the Messiah. Isaiah 62:12, Israel will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. Since its rebirth in 1948, the nation of Israel has survived despite the fact that it is totally surrounded by enemies sworn to its destruction. For those familiar with Isaiah 62:4, however, the persistence of Israel should come as no surprise. I'm going to stop there because you know what? You'd be surprised how many churches in Delaware are waiting for the Lighthouse Church to close their doors. I wanted to do that years ago, and God says, the only way these doors will ever shut is if you close them, because he said, what I open, I in no way close. So we stayed here through thick and thin. We stayed here when there was only two or three, just the members of the church to preach to, two or three people plus me. And God is now honoring this church and you people. Because really, you being here is like a stigma. How dare you associate with her? I'm a her. And now God has shown up, and you're going to be honored. All right? The message of hope to the nation of Israel is ultimately a message of hope to all mankind. For from Israel comes the hope of the ages, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This is where Isaiah chapter 54 comes into play. And God said, Isaiah 54 was my chapter. And this is what it says. And God told me to read this here last week. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth, our younger years as the church grew. And we'll not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. In other words, when everybody left us, we was desolate. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. And in verse 7, I mean, this is all true, but verse 7, for a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Well, God told me my tree was bearing rotten fruit, so he's going to cut it down, and that's what this verse is talking about here. For this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. You know how I did a dance on that. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempests and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundation with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. You know, I can pick up in the spirit the certain churches that are wondering what we're doing over here. And I just sort of sat and grinned. You're wondering, but you don't have the courage to come and sit and see what's going on in here. But soon, and very soon, all will know what's going on in the Lighthouse Church. All your, verse 13 says, all your children will, shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Phew, that made me so happy. Amen. They don't know peace right now. In righteousness you shall be established. In righteousness. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. You see this, guys? You don't have to worry about nothing. God is taking care of your enemies. Verse 16 says, behold, I have created a blacksmith who blows coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created a spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against your judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is for me, says the Lord. When God has sort of just let me do my little thing, my enemies came at me and they were having victory. But whenever God said he was done chastising me, excuse me, and you all do get chastised, so don't sit there so smirky. You all will be chastised. God will get your attention one way or another. And then once God was through chastising me, I knew that I knew that I knew that he was taking care of my enemies. And no weapon formed against me was prospering anymore. You have to get to that place. I'm hearing God say that stance in your walk with him, that you know that you know that you know that the enemy is finished in your life. And he has no power, no authority. God said, I have called you out of captivity this day, and the enemy will have no place within your gates. Your children who are in captivity will be brought forth with the strength to stay the course of freedom. The enemy's grasp has been broken, and salvation after salvation is on the way. If you have kids that are on drugs or anything, God says, it's finished. I'm in control. And he says, stay the course of love and watch me move on your behalf. Love conquers all darkness. Always remember you are warriors against principalities and not the flesh. And as you stay the course of love, all chains of bondage will be broken. There will be no chain too small nor any chain too large that love will not break. And I don't care what anybody's done to you. Love is the answer. Love is the answer. Too many of us, I'm like you. I sit and I rant and I rave and I say stupid things to myself or maybe have some, and then after I'm through all with that, then I have to sit down and repent. And I remind God I still have not been translated yet. But, really, that's no excuse. But as long as you just do it, you don't go out and broadcast it. But love is the answer to all things. I know I've lived a long time, but God's always had me walk in love. And that one year I walked in bitterness was the worst year of my life. God said, don't go there, but I did. Had no reason to go there in God's eyes. And I never want to go back there again. And God told me the other day, a week ago, he said, the reason why you're sickly, there's so much hate in my home right now, okay? He said, the reason why you're so sickly is because your spirit man was not meant to live in this hate, in this anger. And it's not coming from me, but it's in my home. And he said, until the hate and the anger is done away with, this sickness will plague your body. And, I know what I should do to get rid of the anger, but I haven't done it yet because I'm still believing that God is going to move and change the hearts. Amen. Am I paying a price? Yes, I am. But I'm hoping it's worth it all. I'm hoping that God's going to keep me until the right thing is done. What are you going through? Can you look at yourself and say, Jesus went through this too? And then do what Jesus did and keep on loving and keep on walking and keep on holding on to God's hand. And I think it was Brother Aaron told me the other day, he says, you're going through all the things you're going through because of what God has called you to do. And I know this, but sometimes I need to be reminded. And Brother Alan told me, you pay a great price to bring us through so we can one day be where we're at. So what I said that to say this, if you're truly a true child of God, then you'll suffer for his sake. You'll love when nobody else will love. And you'll make sure hate is as far away from you as it can go. And you won't be trying to tear things apart, but you'll be trying to build things up. And when people do bad things to you, you cry. But you gather yourself together, and then you'll go to them and smile. And they'll know it's all as well. We have to allow people to grow at their pace. I just said that to Brother Aaron the other night. I said, well, I know what I have to do. People are going to grow at their pace, and I know what I have to do. And what I have to do is stick my nose in my own face and let God grow me at my pace and let him grow you at your pace, you know. I know what God has done for me and to me, and I know what I've witnessed. I know the miracles God's used me to do. And so for that, I have to pay a price because Satan's furious. I had my visitations with Satan, and every time he tells me how he's going to kill me. But my God says in Job that he can do everything but kill me. And I remind him of that all the time. But I, just like God said, he's after you again. This was a while back. And I just want to remind you of this. Satan has come after you again, asked for you again. But this time he's bringing heavier equipment with him. He said, but always remember that he can do anything but kill you. He said he'll turn you inside out, upside down. But when it's all done, you'll be looking at me, praising me. Well, when I started into that little venture, I already knew I was going for a battle. But I did not know the battle was as strong as it was going to be. But I always remember God said, he can't kill you. And that's one of his favorite lines, I'm going to kill you. But no, he can't. He can't take your life. He didn't give your life to you. He didn't give it. He can't take it away. You can't suffer a little bit for the sake of the lost souls out there. You can't suffer a little bit so that if God gives you an assignment that you can't endure any hardship with it. Your heart's not big enough, you know, not wide enough to hold enough love to help somebody else through their difficult times. Think about this. Why do you leave your spouse all the time? Why can't you say, good morning, sweetie, I really do love you, and mean it? Why can't you do that? Because you don't have enough love in your heart. You don't have the love of God surging through your veins. And God said, if you can't love your brother and your sister, then you don't love me. It's time that we get serious with this. What's your new name? Beulah Land, yes. God has changed your name. It's Beulah Land. And what's the other word? Hespeneth? How do you pronounce it? Yeah, Hespa. And that means you're highly loved by God. You were changed tonight, and God has you on a new journey now. How are you going to handle this new journey? Are you going to mess it up like you did the old journey? Or are you going to do what's right and love unconditionally? You know, I have drug people in my home, and I just sit in my study and I rant and I rave and go on to what I'm going to do. Especially like Dave when he starts slamming doors. But you know, that person walked into my room and they said, "Mom, Mom." You know, I was just like soft butter. I said, "Yes, honey, what do you want?" You know, when you truly love, you can't help but love. It just oozes out. You just love. That's just all there is to it. And people look at you and they look at me and say, are you nuts? That's what they say. You're going to do this for them after they did this to you. Well, you know, what if Jesus said that to you? What if Jesus says that to you? After I died on the cross for you, look what you just did to me. You walked all over my blood. Now, please don't take this message and twist it. You know, if you're in a relationship or if you just got out of a relationship that was never to be, please don't take this message and twist it. But if you're where God wants you to be, then put more love into it. When people walk into your home, they should see love. They should feel love. But how many homes do you walk into and they feel that? You know, we aren't supposed to envy anybody, but I envy Grace and Barbara. They just go home all to themselves and God. No interruptions. No kids, no drug addicts, you know, they just go home to God. And then they're always smiling nice at God. Yeah. Just put a drug addict in their house and see what they do. Yeah, you know. Come on. Catherine's all happy at work, then she has to come home to Christopher. I just did that. He's back there laughing. That's why I said that. Do you understand what God's trying to get across to you tonight? You know, we shouldn't care for black, white, pink, yellow, or blue. We're all God's children. Don't you get sick and tired of what's going on right now? I never thought I'd ever see this day. But it's upon us. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to have the love of Christ in us? Or are we going to act like the world? Well, they'll shoot me if I don't act like them. Let them shoot you. You'll go on to be with Jesus. That's how I think, too. Go ahead and kill me. I'll just be in a better place. You know, you're doing me a favor, really. Even though you want to be here to raise your kids, you're still doing me a favor. Instead of me walking through, oh, no, they're going to kill me. Well, you know, might be your appointed. You die when it's your appointed time. And that might be just your appointed time. I just want you guys tonight to know that I just think this is so awesome. I really do think this is awesome. And God told me we were living with Isaiah 52. But right now we're living in Isaiah 52. I was going to write that scripture down and I forgot. You know, God is really on the move. He's doing big things, different things. You don't expect your family to understand you because you're going to be acting totally crazy. And don't expect your pastor or your flock, whatever. Don't expect anybody to understand you because they don't understand spiritual things. So what do? We just keep on moving. You know, God calls Alan the wild man, and people do think he's a wild man. The Delaware thinks I'm the crazy woman, demon-possessed. It doesn't matter. They didn't believe Jesus was who he was, did they? But they know now, don't they? And God always said to me, don't try to vindicate yourself. I will vindicate you in due season. And how many of you sitting in here tonight, you've been trying to vindicate yourself? Quit. Just quit. God will do it. When he does it, you will be vindicated. Everybody will know the truth. But if you keep trying to do it, you're just messing things up. Just messing things up. A couple of my daughters say, I don't know what to do with you, Mom. And I said, nothing. Just leave me alone. You know, all these years you've left me alone. Let me alone now, too. You know, you do what you want to do, and I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing. And they say, yeah, we know. They know they can't change me. Do people know that you can't be changed? You have to be so determined in your walk with God that everybody around you knows she's nuts. Leave her alone. You know, come on. And why can't you men be like Jesus and love your wives like Christ loves the church? And why can't you treat God's women the way Jesus treats them, with respect and dignity? These are just things you have to think about. And I know that some of you men have done some, and women too, have done some really bad things and dumb things. Why? For lack of knowledge. You didn't understand what to do, so you just did what you knew to do, what you've been shown to do with the world or with your parents. And you know, I'm not too thrilled with today being Mother's Day, because you know what? Mothers really aren't mothers now. They're really not. And we have a we have a broken generation to prove that. You didn't hear me give a Mother's Day message, did you? I wanted to, well, God gave me two messages for what he did, but otherwise I was going to exalt God, because if we keep exalting God, women might become mothers. Are you understanding that? And if you're a woman and you've done wrong, then just say, ask God to forgive you and say, now teach me how to be a true woman. Not a mother, but just if you learn how to be a true woman, Adriana, then you don't have to worry about being a mother. Because everything just flows. Nope, now I'm upset. I figured I'd say her name, but she got upset. Sorry. But if you women were to be honest, nobody ever taught you how to be a woman. Why did I grow up, be 23 years old, not know how I got pregnant? Because I never had a woman to teach me anything. Are you understanding this? And I think that we need to start, you women, and you men, start needed to changing what's going on in the atmosphere. I'm going to be the man of God that's going to change the atmosphere, and I'm going to show other men what a true man of God is. I don't see very many true men of God. Do you all? I'm not running men down, because I want men in the body of Christ. I really do. That's been my heart's cry, for men to get into church and take the rightful places in the church, and then they'll take the rightful place in their family, and God will be super happy. I would just assume a man was up here preaching, and I could sit down and listen. But you know, God had to choose me. You probably wouldn't enjoy the man more than you do me, right? Amen. Well, I'm finished, Beulah Land. I'm excited. We're under God's complete protection. And there's no place but up to go. New name, new dispensation of time. God's going to answer every promise he's given us. It's going to be answered. And we're going to quit doing dumb things. Because we won't be able to do it, because the glory of God's going to be on us so strong that we're just going to walk in the glory of God and do what God would do, because we're made in his image, are we not? God's telling me to tell you, he loves you each individually for who you are. He loves you completely. He wonderfully formed you. I don't care what a parent told you. They didn't make you. I'm sorry to take that little thing out of their mind. God that placed you in the womb. He placed the seed there. He made you. And you're made in his image. Everybody says, oh, isn't they cute? It looks just like the Father, which I wish to be the Father in heaven. You know? I'm serious. Men get all puffed up. Oh, look, they look just like me. Well, are you acting like God? If you are, then you can be puffed up. If you're not, then don't get puffed up. Say, I wish they looked like God. Amen. Look, I got a baby. Well, are you taking care of that baby? Are you walking with God? Are you doing the things that God's calling you to do? Or do you just have a baby? There wouldn't be as many kids on the streets doing what they're doing if they had a true father. Mothers, I don't care what you do, kids want a father. Now, I had a wonderful father, and I adored him, and he adored me. I was his first child. And, you know, and I'm so glad. I mean, he didn't do right at me at the end, but anyhow, I'm so glad that I had a father who truly loved me, picked me up in his arms, put me on his shoulders, you know, and took me outside and played games with me and taught me what a man is supposed to be, until the devil stepped in there, caused him to go astray. One night, destroyed 11 people's lives because a man thought he had to crawl in bed with some trollop. Are you guys understanding this? You have a family that you need to take care of. Maybe not now, but sometime down the line you will. Get yourself prepared right now to be the man of God that your children need. Just not another man. Love is your foundation. And without love, you don't exist. God wants you right now to receive that knowledge within your spirit, man. It is love. I think I've overstayed my stuff here. It is love. You know, whenever I said, God, I just can't get together a mother's message, he says, doesn't my word say I'm your mother, your father, your sister, and your brother? He said, so if you exalt me, you're exalting mothers. So let's exalt God. I really didn't want anything for Mother's Day because I just wanted God to be seen. But I was blessed. And I thank God for everything I got. But I just want God to be seen. We don't need. Okay, guys, Father's Day's coming up. You're going to have to get yourself shaped up. It's June, right? You have to get yourself shaped up, or you might get a bad message. You might want to stay home. Thank you, Father. God, what God is doing right now is he wants that laughter. Because with that laughter comes love and joy. And with the love and joy comes a change. And do you know how hard it is to try to raise two little boys without a man in the house? And, you know, it's really hard. It used to be what they had, the Big Brother Club, but then that Big Brother Club got messed up. And it was nice because men would take boys out, teach them to shoot and hunt and everything, you know. But didn't have fathers. You don't have that nowadays. And I wouldn't let that happen anyhow because you never know who to trust anymore. But still, no, teach them about God and his love. He's their father. And if you look to God as your father, you aren't searching the world for a man. There's some marriages in here that God says that you need to get them together and keep them together. You know, and you might be under the same roof, but you're not really husband and wife per se. You're pretending to be, but God sees all things. And some of you women, your heart's been broken so many times that your heart's mutilated and nobody understands that. You don't even understand it yourself. And you're trying to figure out life. And then somebody throws you another hard blow on top of all that junk and it sinks you deeper into that miry clay, isn't that right? And all you're trying to do is get your head out up above so you can breathe, and somebody comes and stomps it back down again. I don't think there's a one of us in the sound of my voice that has not happened to. Then they say, what's your problem? Well, the problem is that little last bombshell you just threw at me. And now I have to crawl up underneath that too. And God is saying the shrapnel hurts. And it hits everywhere. Amen. We're not going to hurt no more, are we? We're going to be love vessels, right? Yes. I remember one time God called us. He wanted us to be love sponges. And there was a man in my life, my first husband. He said, all right, love sponge. You know. You know, he threw that at me all the time. I was proud of that, though. I'd rather be called a love sponge than a hate sponge or a whoremonger or whatever, you know. So I said that to say this. So what if they make fun of your love? They're making fun of God. For God is love, and that's who you serve. Father, I just thank you tonight. And Father God, we just really truly do lift you up above all of our circumstances. I thank you, Father God, that you renamed us Beulah Land. When do people finally understand what this is all about, Father? Be there for them as they cry and rejoice. And let them understand, Father God, it's because you love us so totally and completely that you've done that. We're a small church, Father God, but we love you and we trust you. And we know, Father God, you never put anything on us that more than we can bear. And so, Father, right now, as we sit here in our seats, we make a covenant with you that we're going to love the unlovable, that when somebody's down, we're not going to kick them. But, Father God, we're going to go to them, pick them up, brush them off, give them a great big hug and say, I'm here for you. But even if I wasn't, the Father's with you. And Father God, we're going to go forth and we're as a love foundation, and we're going to win the lost. And they're going to know what true love is because of your love that you shed abroad upon us. And we thank you for it, Father. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're not going to do any altar call because I think that God did all the work that needs to be done. All you have to do is just take what he said to you. Please live it. Husbands, be wives. Husbands, be a husband to your wife. And wife, be a wife to your husband. And quit the stupidity. Really, I'm serious with this, and I'm closing. If you can't get along, then God would rather have you separate. Because you are not an example of love or Jesus Christ. And you're destroying your children that you have watching what you're doing. And they'll never trust God. Never. Because you are showing him that God is not real. You're dismissed. But take what you've heard. And please apply it to your life. What's your new name? Don't forget that.